Well, a couple weeks ago, I took Becky, had to go down to the doctor's down in Delaware. So I took her down there for her doctor appointment. It was the first time we saw this doctor down at DuPont Hospital. So as they brought Becky back, they had to do all that measurements and testing, you know, that they have to get out of the way. So they did her temperature and her blood pressure and things like that. And then they did her weight and her height. And as they were doing her height, I discovered something. I guess I'd been kind of suspecting, but I really didn't want to admit that Becky is now taller than I am. And as soon as they said Becky's height, she knew it. She knew exactly. She's like, ha ha ha, you know. And I wasn't quite as happy about it, you see, because since I was a kid, that was always one of the things I always wanted, was to be tall. Do you ever have something like that you always wanted? Now, for me, it's because basketball is my favorite sport growing up. And the one thing that separated me from being truly great was height. Well, that and not being slow and not being able to jump. But the main thing was height. You know, and if I could just be taller, I could have it. So you know what I would do? I would try to get taller. Did you ever try to get taller? You know, you'd like hang and try to hang during the day so it would spread yourself out. I would sleep with my legs over the bed. I figured then if I did that, it would kind of, I don't know, gravity would take effect while I slept. Or you just stretch yourself a lot and you'd think, man, I can just get taller. But you know what? I couldn't get any taller. And I'm just like, man, this isn't right. And what I discovered, that growing taller, it wasn't up to me. It wasn't within my power to get taller. Now, have you ever experienced something like that, that you really wanted, and no matter how hard you tried, it really wasn't in your power? Do you ever have something like that? Why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them what it is real quick? Because I know you all have something, so. All right, get you. I'm not hearing any. I heard two people talk. All right, you got it? Good. Yeah, it can be frustrating, can it? When you really want something, I mean, you know, maybe it's not getting taller like me, but you do everything you can and you find that accomplishing it wasn't up to you. And maybe it was at work. Maybe you said something at work, getting that big promotion. You went and worked all this overtime, but really the decision wasn't yours. Or finding that special person of your dreams and getting them to like you back. Or maybe it's, you know, you have your garden all set and you want to grow those perfect blueberries. And you want to do it, but it's ultimately not up to you. You know, in the same way as all of that, when it comes to following Jesus and becoming his disciple, it's not up to us to grow. Do you know that? Our growth is not up to us. Say it another way, we don't grow ourselves into a disciple. Do you know that? We become a disciple. And that's why our series, our challenge for 2019 is becoming. It's not making ourselves. So when we're talking about our spiritual growth, we become a disciple. The truth is that it's God who grows us. We don't grow ourselves. So this morning, as we look at this challenge that we've been talking about every month about learning to follow Jesus and becoming his disciple, an important aspect to that is growth. If we want to become a disciple, we need to grow. Disciples grow in our faith in God. We grow in our maturity. We grow in our actions as we look more and we act more like Jesus every day. So as we look at this subject of growth this morning, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel account, chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark 4. If you have your phones, go to the app, the Bible app, and go to Mark chapter 4, the Bible in front of you, and you can turn to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus shares a parable to the crowds that are following him. And if you remember, Jesus often used parables to teach, especially everyday people. Parables are these practical, everyday stories that illustrate spiritual principles, pretty heavy spiritual principles, in a way that ordinary people like us can understand them better. And the parable we're looking at this morning starts in verse 26 of Mark. And this parable is only found in Mark's gospel account. You know how we have four gospels, and a lot of times there's a lot of overlap and similar stories. Well, this one's only found in Mark's gospel, and I find it very interesting. It's one of my favorite parables. So beginning in verse 26, let's read this story of Jesus. And Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." Just a neat little story, right? And it's a story Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of God is as if, or it's like this. This is what it means with the kingdom of God. And this topic, Jesus addressed this topic over and over again in his teaching, this kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God includes not only the kingdom of God to come. So when Jesus is referring to the kingdom of God, he's referring to in heaven with Jesus. Those who have placed their faith in Jesus get to be with God forever in his kingdom. But also, not only the kingdom to come, but the kingdom that's right here. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of God is here and it is to come. So what he's talking about with the kingdom of God that's here is God working in and through his people here on earth to make a difference, or God's presence through his people on the earth. So when he's talking about the kingdom of God, he's talking about that, the difference his followers make as he grows them, okay, or as he inhabits his people. So here's what he says. He says, this kingdom is like a man, a farmer, okay, who's planting seed. Okay, how many people have gardens? You plant seed, right? Usually. We just hope that things grow. I don't know. But yeah, you plant seeds, right? And again, this idea of farming, agriculture, Jesus talked a lot of parables about this because that's what a lot of people did for a living, was they grew things. So they would get this. So this common theme for his parables was farming. And if you look back to the beginning of Mark chapter 4, you see another parable about farming. This is what we talked about last month. Remember the sower that scatters the seed? And it falls in four different soils, and what happens to the seed that falls in the different soils along the path, in the rocks, the weeds, and then in good soil? So Jesus is speaking to the same audience that he just said that parable to, and he uses another parable about farming or agriculture, okay, in the same setting. So here's what he says. He says, this guy, he plants seed, or he scatters the seed, or sows the seed, and then he goes about his business. Says day and night, he sleeps day and night, he goes. So he's doing his everyday actions is what Jesus is trying to say here. Man went about his business. And while he does this, the seed starts growing. And Jesus is quick to note, but he doesn't know how. It just grows. It just happens. And then he says the earth produces it by itself. Then the seed grows into a blade, then an ear, then a grain in the ear. And when it's ripe, when it's ready, the man immediately goes out and he harvests it. Okay? And this parable, what it's about, this growing seed mirrors spiritual growth. Or Jesus, what he's talking about, the principle of the growing seed, is he's talking about growing spiritually. And what happens when we grow spiritually? And just as the farmer did nothing to make the seed grow, spiritual growth is not our doing. Just like salvation isn't our doing. We don't do enough good things that God finally is impressed enough with us and says, wow, you've finally done enough. You're now saved, right? That's not our doing. It was God's doing. We just trust it. And in the same way, that's how spiritual growth works. So the farmer, he goes out, right? And he doesn't know how it grows. And the farmers, the audience Jesus is having, they would have got this. They would have immediately said, well, of course, he doesn't know how it grows. We don't know how it grows. And the Jews in the crowd, and even the pagans, would have understood this because they realize that even in farming, there's a good amount of providence that's happening that makes a good harvest. That's why throughout history, people have offered sacrifices. The Jews would offer sacrifices to God, the pagans to their gods, for the harvest, right? That's what some of these, back in Genesis and Exodus, some of these in Canaan, some of the gods they worshipped were gods of harvest. Because it was that important, because they said, we could go out and do everything we can possibly do and something still not grow. So there's this idea that it's not up to us. So this is what Jesus is getting at in this parable. You see, God grows us as we follow Jesus. As we trust in him, he grows us. So I guess the question about that is, well, what do we do in the meantime then? You ever thought that? If this is God's work, what do we do? Well, we can look at the farmer, right? What did he do? Well, he didn't do nothing at all, did he? He didn't just go inside and sit around on his lazy boy playing video games, did he? No, but he still didn't make the seed grow. He trusted the earth to produce it, right? And in the same way, our spiritual growth, we trust God to grow us. You see, this parable is all about then how we trust God to grow us, to produce in us his actions and his mindset. Because God grows us for a purpose. And he grows us incrementally, just as the seed grows. So we grow a little bit at a time. But we're being grown and God is growing us so that he can use us, so that he can make an impact, so that we can be a part of his kingdom right here and now. So as we explore this becoming this morning, as we've been talking about, or growing, I want to take a real close look, just real briefly, at what this parable is talking about. At this farmer, because in looking at what he's doing, we get a clue on what we're supposed to be doing with our spiritual life. What we're supposed to be doing here and now as God grows us closer to him. So let's take a look, okay? So hopefully you still have your Bible open. So Jesus opens talking about this farmer, this man who scatters seed, right? Onto the ground. Now, if this guy's any kind of farmer, which he probably is because he's living there and he's dependent on the earth, right? So he probably knows what he's doing. So if he's any kind of farmer, he's not just like throwing seed around. He's not like sitting in his house and he opens his window and just goes, hope it grows, right? Those of you that farm or the garden, is that what you do in the spring? No, we don't do that at all, right? A good farmer sows seed in soil that's been prepared to grow it, right? So it's a given here that this man is going out to sow seed so that he must have prepared the soil to be good soil, as he talked about in the former parable, because the good soil is where things grow. So this man is getting the soil prepared to receive growth. And if you've ever gardened or farmed or anything like that, you get this, don't you? Connor, you're growing corn, right? You didn't just throw it somewhere, right? Stick an ear of the corn, hammer it in the ground, right? You got the ground ready, right? Usually that what that means is in the spring, we till the ground, right? We turn it over. We take out any rocks or weeds or anything like that. We get it all ready. And then we put the seed in the ground. And in this idea that Jesus is talking about here, we trust God to grow us by being responsible. Even though we don't grow ourselves, we can still be responsible with the way we live our lives and the way we position ourselves for God to grow us. We put ourselves in the best environment for growth. You see, even if we can't grow ourselves, you know what we can do? We can stunt our growth, can't we? by doing harmful things to ourselves or doing nothing at all. We can place ourselves in really bad spots. You know, maybe I didn't grow taller because I drank too much coffee, but I don't drink coffee. But could have stunted my growth that way, right? I can't make myself grow, but I can stunt myself. So being responsible means that we're placing ourselves and getting the environment just right in our lives, getting our hearts right and our actions right so that God can grow us. Being responsible means we prepare ourselves. You know, in Colossians, Paul says this about that. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, or as you've started walking with God or started trusting in him, then walk in him. Don't do nothing. He says, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. You want to be used by God? Well, then walk in him. Set up that environment. Are those actions going to grow you? No, because God grows us. But it places us in the position where we're ready. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It means we prepare our soil by getting more familiar with God's word, right? This is one way we prepare the soil of our hearts. Get familiar with God's word so that we know what the things of God are and the things of man are. And we learn to talk with and trust God with who we are. We learn to be honest with God. We learn to have open communication with God so that as God's growing us, we can be talking to him about that. So we prepare ourselves. And we learn to be honest and we place ourselves in a good environment with others. Things like placing ourselves in a good church where they preach the word, where you can find a place of service. Maybe finding a small group to be a part of or a group of people where you can be growing and challenging each other. Okay? That God can then begin to shape in you the image of himself. But what we do in being responsible is we place ourselves there. So a great question to ask ourselves is, am I placing myself in a good position for God to grow me? Do you ever wonder that? The time that I take, the priorities that I have, the actions that I'm doing, the people I'm hanging out with. Am I placing myself in a good position for God to grow me? Because again, we can stunt our growth by not seeking or trusting God, not praying or participating or being open to be stretched by God to try new things. But you know what? Trusting God for growth, it begins by taking responsibility so that we're prepared for growth. So that when God starts to grow us, it takes our hearts ready for it. And then you know what happens after we prepare the soil and we plant the seeds? We wait. Isn't that great? You know, Tom Petty has that song, "The Waiting is the Hardest Part." Isn't waiting the hardest part? It is no fun waiting for God to work. It's no fun waiting for anything. But especially when we know God wants to grow us and change us and we don't see a whole lot happening. Or when we're obeying God and God says, hey, I'm going to open the floodgates for you. I'm going to make you into a witness and people are going to respond to me through you. And we're doing that and we're seeing no response. We're just like, how long? Waiting's hard, isn't it? If you've ever grown things, you know waiting is hard, right? You plant the seed and you go look at it every day and it doesn't look any different, does it? You're sitting there watching grass grow. It doesn't seem like it's happening very quick, does it? And you're just sitting here. But you know what? God will grow it. And the waiting that the farmer did here, it wasn't just, I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to go put myself in the house and I'll come out in a month and see what happens. Okay? He's not just sitting back. It says day and night he went about his business. He slept and he rose and he's doing his life. But as he's doing all that, he's waiting. You see, we trust God to grow us by being patient. And again, patience is something probably people tell you, never pray for patience. Because you know what's going to happen when you pray for patience? My mom always gets a snicker on her face around the girls when they see me exasperated by them, because she knows. She knows this is how I was for her, so she's just like, my prayer's been answered. He got somebody just like him. So now he knows. But you never want to pray for patience, right? Because we don't want to have that in our life. But you know, God calls us to be patient, especially waiting for him to work. And not many people enjoy that. But if you've grown things, it takes time, doesn't it, for something to sprout and then something to grow. We used to grow things in our backyard, man. I couldn't wait. We had strawberries and things like that in our backyard. I couldn't wait to go out and get them. So I'd always eat the green strawberries because I'd be sitting there looking at it, and every day it would be there. Well, you know what? Don't eat a green strawberry. It's not a good idea. We need to be patient. We need to wait. And this is what the farmer's doing, but he's actively waiting because he's going about his business. He's still getting things accomplished. He's not having life stop while he's waiting for God to grow him. He's still trying things. He's still doing what God has put right before him. You know, Paul says this in Galatians. He says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. So Paul's sitting here saying, you do good, but maybe you don't see anything happen. Have you ever had that? You've been trying and you've been trying to witness to a friend or something like that, or you've been praying for something and you just don't see an answer. And finally you're just like, it's not going to happen. I'm done. I'll take it into my own hands. Nobody? Yeah, we get like that, don't we? And here Paul's saying, don't grow weary of that. That's the right thing to be doing. Keep doing the right things and God will work. And that's the heart of patience. It's all about doing right and trusting God to work. And if we haven't seen him work yet, we continue to do right. We continue to do what he's placed right in front of us. So he's given us a place to serve, then we serve. You know, maybe God hasn't shown you that exact place. You know, we talk about God uniquely creating us for a special purpose and a specific purpose. And God does that. But while he's working, and we might not see that yet, it doesn't mean we go, well, I'm just waiting. And every week you hear about needs that need people. There's places to serve. There's opportunities that are there. And we just sit back and go, I would do it, but I'm waiting. For God said he has a perfect will. No, it's saying, all right, well, God has that. But in the meantime, I'm going to do what he's placed right before me. So maybe I'll serve somewhere. Or maybe I'll share with someone. And that's what patience is all about. It's taking the time right in front of us. And while God is working, we do what we know is right. And we do it right in front of us. Because during this time of waiting, when we patiently wait, you know what we're doing? We're getting to know more about God. When we're still seeking him, I'm still seeking to do right. We get to know more about ourselves. And God is growing us, whether we know it or not, during these times, because we're still stepping out with him and we're trusting him. And then what happens is when God does then open it up for us, we're ready to go because God's been working in us and we've been open for that. So we want to get to know more about ourselves, gain confidence, get more confident in walking and following what he puts in front of us in real life. So don't just wait, but patiently wait, being active for God to grow us. And this is important that we do this because of this. God will grow us. Do you know that? Do you know that God will grow us? He's not just going to grow some people and not others. He's not going to say, well, I have great plans for almost everybody, but not you. You're just a space filler. Wasn't enough room in heaven, so you got to stay here for a little bit and wait. But really, I don't have much for you. No, God wants to grow all of us, and he will grow us. Paul says that in Philippians, right? He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete that work. God is going to grow us. And when that growth happens, we need to be ready to act upon it. And we see that at the end of this parable. Or in other words, we trust God to grow us by being attentive. The farmer here was watchful, wasn't he? So he's waiting, but he's still watching. So he's still going about his business every day, but he's still watching. And he's still saying, has God moved on that yet? Has that growth happened? Is it ready yet? Because it says, right, Jesus says, as he's going, and when it does happen, it says, at once, he takes the sickle to it, doesn't he? And he harvests it. He couldn't do that at once if he wasn't watching. He didn't say, oh, when did that happen? He knew exactly when it happened because he's been watching. He's been attentive to it. He was expecting it to grow. So let me ask you a question. Do you expect God to grow you? Do I expect God to grow me? Or do you just hope he does? You see, if we just hope God grows us, we'll miss it. But in our lives, if we expect God to grow us, to work in and through us, then we'll watch for it, right? It's kind of like if you're driving a long trip and you see the sign for Stuckey's. Stuckey's, 8,642 miles. And then every mile you see the sign, right? And it's counting down, and you're just like, Stuckey's is coming. I don't know about you, but when we're driving, everybody's looking for Stuckey's. Because we've seen this stinking sign for the last 18 hours, and we're finding the Stuckey's. And we're expecting it around every curve. We're like, is it? That's how it is with God growing us. We should expect him to grow us. And this is what the farmer's doing. And as soon as it was ready, he jumps out and he harvests it. So we'll be watchful and ready to respond. Peter says this in one of his letters. He says, therefore, preparing our minds for actions and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know what he's talking about there? Prepare yourselves. Because Jesus is going to be revealed. Not just in glory when he comes again. Jesus is revealed in us every time he grows us. Every time he works in our lives and he's seen in us, he's revealed. So what's he saying? He says, prepare your minds for action. It's not about you. So expect him to work. And this is what the farmer is doing, or this man is doing. Jesus just isn't revealed in us. At those times when he returns the second time, he grows us to reflect him. And we regrow to look more like him. So again, there's a certain amount of expectation that's filled in being attentive because we're trusting God and God is faithful. You see, God has plans for each and every one of us to use us, to walk in him. And he wants to work in us to impact this world because that's what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God to come, the kingdom of God that is right here, is about God making us, as Jesus said, that city on a hill, the light of the world, for others to see Jesus in us. Are you expecting God to work every day? When you go to work tomorrow, are you expecting God to use you? So that somebody can see Jesus in and through you. Are you expecting for God to open up a door to share Jesus with a coworker or to a family member? Because that's what God wants to do. And God wants to work. But are we attentive to him working? You see, it's only possible because we use our time patiently waiting to ready ourselves to respond. And if not, if we're not attentive, we may miss it when God gives us opportunities. You know, when it comes to following Jesus and becoming his disciple, our growth isn't up to us. It's God who grows us. And God desires to grow us so that we look and we act more like Jesus right here and now. at your workplace, at school, when you're with your friends, when you're with your family. God wants us to grow that. And even though we can't bring that growth about, we can get ready for it. We can prepare ourselves by being responsible. And then we can patiently but watchfully wait. And when we see God grow us, we use it. That's what this parable is about. That's what becoming a disciple is about. We follow Jesus. We trust him so much so that we prepare ourselves, then we're waiting and watchful to be used by him. Becoming Jesus' disciple is all about God growing us. Let's pray.